Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is, The Kingdom of Heaven is About an Invitation. The text is from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14.
We are happy to welcome those here for the Principal's Recruitment Conference. I hope last night number of you education students were able to go by and make some good contacts with these good folks who've come to present their opportunities of their ministries to you. And I know you're prayerful about it. I've been praying for you, woke up praying for you students this morning, that God would be pleased to make His will and purpose known to you through these contacts that you make during these days. So please go and speak to as many of these folks as you possibly can. It is for your sakes that they're here, as well as for the sake of their school's needs. And we believe that they've been praying, I'm sure they have, for God to lead across their pathway the right ones here that the Lord would have there. I pray all the time for the needs here at the university, that God would bring just the right people and that He would keep away from this place the wrong people. A wrong teacher in a Christian school can do unbelievable harm. If that teacher's life is off kilter, out of fellowship with the Lord, or if their personality is not the right fit for that particular school, or if for whatever other reason they are a misfit in that place, it doesn't mean that they're a misfit in the work of God. It just means that God has another place, perhaps, where they would be a better fit. So we pray for God to raise up the right people for the sake of the students who will benefit from their lives. In that connection, let me read to you just a brief something that crossed my desk recently. A classmate of mine, Vern Hammond, who for many years of his life, until he had a stroke, 2 or 3 years ago, who came often to this principal's recruitment conference, wrote me this note. He said that when he was in the military in the Philippines, he was a part of the CBs, the engineering and construction group that does a lot of building for the military, and they were building some facilities at Subic Bay, our naval facility in the Philippines. And there was a couple there who turned their home into a kind of a haven for Christian military personnel. This man, his wife, Jesse and Nettie Miller, invited the guys over and the girls over for Bible studies on a regular basis and for refreshment and R&R. And he said on this one day, he was there along with other military people, Air Force, Navy, Marines, a whole bunch of different guys were there and women, and they were having Bible study, and then they took a break to have a volleyball game. He said there was another missionary there by the name of Chuck Hufstetler, who was a BJU grad, who also had been stationed during World War II in the Philippines and had returned to give his life there in missionary service. And he was the speaker for this particular week of Bible studies that were being held at the Miller's house. When they took their break for the volleyball game, the missionaries and the military people all participated together. And he said this guy, Chuck Hufstetler, was an unusually good volleyball player. And on one play, he leaped high in the air and gave a mighty spike and crammed the ball right down the throat of the other team. And one of the opponents on the other side said, "Great shot, Chuck, your point." And Chuck said, No, it isn't. I touched the net." And Vern said, "I was deeply impressed with the honesty of Chuck Hufstetler. He didn't have to say that. Nobody else knew he touched the net." And he said, "As I got to thinking about it, it dawned on me, he's a graduate of BJU. Maybe there's something for me to learn at BJU." One thing led to another. Vern entered here as a married student and graduated in 59 in the same class I was in. And then he went out to Christian education, spent his whole life in Christian education. And then he said, on June 6, 2003, I was privileged to be the speaker at the commencement of Heritage Christian School in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, for the graduation of our first granddaughter, Beth. She's currently studying nursing at BJU. 10 of the 13 grandchildren have stated that they are headed for the university. The remaining three are too young yet to say. By the way, all four of our children are sending their children to Christian schools or homeschooling them. Three of the four are or have taught in Christian schools. And he said, since 1963, when I've been involved in Christian education, I've been able to influence many young people to receive their higher education at BJU, and many of those are out all over the world serving Christ. He said, I tell my students through the years, God is not interested in things, He's interested in people. The whole story isn't written yet. And he said, it all started with one guy who was honest enough to say, I touched the net. The point's invalid. Boy, young people, how can you put enough of a premium on honesty, on a good Christian testimony, the lives that your lives will touch, the lives that your lives will touch if you're called into Christian education, as they go wherever God sends them to go, and they get trained, and they go out and spend their life investing it for Christ's sake in the lives of others. It goes on and on and on and on. I want to share that today when the Christian school principals are here, because I want it to be for your encouragement as well, that your labors are not in vain. And what greater ministry could God give to any of us than the ministry of Christian education? Obviously, we believe in it here. It's what our lives are all about. And God has brought you here to be the beneficiaries of the lives of the faculty who teach you. Well, I ask you to open your Bible, please, this morning to Matthew 22. I've entitled this, The Kingdom of Heaven is About an Invitation. The Kingdom of Heaven is About an Invitation. Would you follow as I begin at verse 1? Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables, and said, The Kingdom of Heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. The Lord said, I want to tell you about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is described variously as the kingdom of God or the kingdom of God and Christ, all meaning essentially the same thing. It's about the kingdom of Messiah, our Lord Jesus. It's about His rule and reign here and hereafter. In Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is described as leaven, which spreads through the whole earth. It's described as a man seeking for a goodly pearl. It's described in many ways through the Scripture. But here it's described as the kingdom of heaven. It's described as an invitation. Those who have part in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, have to come by way of this invitation. The invitation opens the door to the kingdom of heaven. I hope you noticed as we read this, look again at verse 2 and verse 3. This invitation is not about the bride. Most weddings are about brides. They're the focus of attention. The bridegroom, he just kind of stands there and tries to look halfway intelligent while everybody's eyes are upon the beautiful bride. It's about the bride, but this wedding is about the bridegroom. It's about the king's son. It's not about the servants who bid the guests to come. It's about the bridegroom, the son. It's all about Jesus Christ. By the way, this is also spoken of in Revelation 19, where we're introduced to the marriage feast of the Lamb. This event, this wedding feast that will take place in heaven one day. The guests who are present are really the same as the bride. Listen to these verses, verses 7 through 9 of Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He said unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride and the guests spoken of as one, arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright and shining. And it tells us that this is the righteousness that they have been given. This wedding garment, of course, as the Oriental custom was, is given by the Lord of the feast to all of the guests who come. It was not a garment that they paid for. It was not a garment that they brought out of their closet. It was something that belonged to another. And it was granted to them as the only way they could sit at the marriage feast. It was provided by somebody else, the Lord of the feast. We find in this invitation, in verses 3 and 4, that the servants were called, those who were bidden to the wedding, and they wouldn't come. And He said, tell them, I've prepared a feast. They're welcome to come. This speaks, of course, to the household of Israel, the Jews. The Bible says in John 1:12, He came unto His own. That's the Jewish nation. And His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So we find in verses 3 and 4 an invitation. In verse 5, we find indifference. But they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Why were they indifferent? Well, the passage here would seem to indicate they just had the cares of this world to look after and didn't have time to leave that and go attend a wedding. They were farmers. They were merchants. They were busy people. You know, we tend to think that we're the only stressed people who ever lived in the world. We are stressed people. The more technology we have, the more stressed we get. There was a day about 20 or 25 years ago when the pundits were actually predicting that Americans, because of technology that would give them so much free time and do so many wonderful things that they didn't have to do anymore, that Americans would be having to figure out what to do with all their spare time. I don't think you and I are having to worry about that. We're having to figure out how to get rid of all this stupid technology so we can have some spare time. Because it follows us everywhere we go. It takes our work with us everywhere we go. We are more stressed, we're busier, we have less free time than we ever had. Our forefathers did have time to sit on their front porch. I remember my grandparents in the summer evenings around here. I know the present faculty and staff will find this hard to believe, but they would sit on their front porch, it faced the library. And when cars would drive by, they would say, you know, come on up and have a Coca-Cola and some ice cream and some cookies with us. And they'd sit out there and they'd talk from after supper until bedtime. Man, we can't do that anymore. That's a luxury that's gone forever, I guess, from our generation. We're pretty busy people. We have so many choices. We have so many things to do. So many responsibilities pulling at us. I read the other day that in 1978, the average grocery store in America had about 12,000 items on the shelves. Today, it's doubled, 24,000 items on the shelves. I mean, just trying to make the choices we have before us today keeps us busy. The pursuit of knowledge keeps us busy. You say, yeah, tell me about it. I'm a college student. I'm all involved in the pursuit of knowledge. Yeah, it does keep us busy. But it's just getting started, folks. If you're going to keep up with this busy world and the explosion of knowledge, you're going to have to take the tools of learning that you get here, and you're going to be learning and learning and learning all of your life. And it's like a big treadmill that's going so fast, your brain just can't keep up with it. I think I may have told you in the past that one daily edition of the New York Times contains more information in it than any man had in an entire lifetime who lived in the 17th century. That's King James era, that's Shakespeare's era, and so forth. In a whole lifetime, they wouldn't have exposure to that much knowledge as you and I have in one day's edition of the New York Times. It's the kind of world we live in. These folks obviously thought their world was busy. And they said, frankly, thanks but no thanks. We just don't have time for your invitation. By the way, folks, if you and I have any time for the Lord Jesus, if you have any time for a devotional life, you're going to have to make it. It won't come naturally. You won't just happen to have some free time to spend at the Lord's feet. You'll have to get up early. You'll have to stay up late. You'll have to carve out an hour of the day. You'll have to work at this. You'll have to protect it or it'll never come. That was the problem of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, the sister of Mary. Luke chapter 10 tells us that the Lord was sitting there with them. They were serving Him a dinner. And Mary sat at His feet. And He said, she's chosen the better part. And He said, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things. What was she cumbered? She was working for Jesus. She was preparing the dinner. She was a little bit perturbed that her sister was doing so little and she was doing so much. And the Lord said, if you have to take a choice between doing a lot for Me or learning a lot for Me, then the better part is to sit at My feet and learn of Me. Because I am what your life is all about. Your life is not about My service, it is about Me. And the truth is that many of us in the service of Jesus Christ are so busy that we have no time for the one we serve. It's that kind of world. These people had no time for the Lord Jesus because they were just too busy. And they displayed great indifference. They made light of it. They said, this is not worthy of My attention. I'm just too busy. In verse 6, we see intolerance. The remnant, that is, those who weren't just too busy, took His servants and entreated them wrongfully and slew them. This is speaking of the Old Testament prophets. This was speaking of all of those in the Bible. The Old Testament is full of the names of men who the Jewish nation, because these men spoke the truth and they wanted to believe a lie rather than the truth, took these prophets and slew them. The religious agenda of many people keeps them from finding the kingdom of heaven. They had a religious agenda that did not include the knowledge of God. They had no ears that wanted to hear the word of God from the mouth of the prophets. And so they said, let's get rid of these people. All over America, there are churches whose people have risen up in rebellion against the knowledge of God and the Word of God. They said, we don't want a preacher who's going to tell us God's truth. Let's get rid of them. We want somebody who will tickle our ears, who will tell us nice things we like to hear, who won't talk about sin and hell and judgment and these things that the Bible speaks about because of the love of Christ for sinners, that He doesn't want to be in hell, and so He speaks the truth from His Word, and so faithful messengers, the preachers, tell the Word out of love for the sinners, and the sinners say, we don't want to hear this. We'd rather believe a lie. than to hear these frightening things, these scary things from the Word of God. We just don't want to face the truth. Religious agenda gets in the way of people finding and being participants in the kingdom of heaven. And we find in verse 7, indignation. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. You know that in 70 A.D., Jerusalem was sacked by the Romans under the leadership of Titus. It was burned, it was pillaged, it was destroyed. Hardly one stone was left upon another. He destroyed their city because they had no time for him and they wanted nothing to do with his word that he faithfully sent and lovingly sent through his prophets. God gets angry with people who have religious agenda, who would rather have their religious agenda than God's truth. Remember that, folks, when you tend to find yourself rebellious and say, I wish I could just get out from under the pressure of a strong pulpit. I'll go find a church somewhere that will be more gentle and that will tell me more things I would rather hear. I would rather hear about the love of God than God's judgment on sin. Well, God in His love has told us about His judgment on sin and about His casting our sin on His own Son who was judged in our behalf, because God loves sinners. And then we find in verses 8 and 9 inclusiveness. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Ladies and gentlemen, your job and mine is to be like these faithful servants, to take this message of God to the world. This is not a message to America. This is God's message to His whole creation all over the world. Why is it America has been blessed with so many preachers? What is it? You've heard the figures. 90% of the world's preachers preach to 10% of the world's population. Something's wrong. He sends His servants out all over the world. And Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10 puts it this way. In heaven there will be a new song sung saying, Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Every kindred, tongue, and nation. He wants to hear the message of His Son, and to have the joy of sitting down at that wedding feast, clothed in the white garments of the righteousness of His Son. I find in verses 11 and 12, insolence. When the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. The invitation was given, and a man came who didn't belong. He wouldn't put on the wedding garment. Think of the insolence of that. Saying to the king, I'll come, but I'll wear my tank top and my cutoffs. I'll come my way. This is a very special occasion. A dignified occasion. An occasion that was going to honor the Son. And he brought great dishonor by saying, I'll choose my dress. My friends, not all who enter the church will enter the kingdom of heaven. There are some in this room who come from good Bible preaching churches, but you will not enter the kingdom of heaven because you don't have on the right garment. You're not clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You've come to church, but you haven't put on the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of in Romans 13, 14 and Galatians 3, 27. You haven't put on Christ. And He's not going to let you come any other way. You'll be cast into utmost darkness, as this man was. The anger of the king will be displayed against you. And he will say to you in that day, depart from me, I never knew you. You knew that you could come. You knew that I wanted you to come. I bid you come, but you would not come my way. And therefore you cannot come. Depart from me. I never knew you. And there'll be a lot of people who sat in Bob Jones University and heard message after message of the Lord Jesus that will have to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. There'll be multitudes out of Bible-believing churches worldwide throughout all ages who will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Many will say to me, recorded in Matthew 7, many will say to me in that day, but Lord, didn't we do wonderful things in your name? He said, I never knew you. Depart from me. And in verse 13, we find the incarceration. The king said, bind him hand and foot and cast him into utter darkness, outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're going to end up in God's great prison house called hell. They'll be there with the devil, with the beast, the false prophets who deceive the nations, cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, and will be tormented, Revelation 20:10 tells us, night and day, forever. Forever. Think about it. Think about it, young person. Think about being in God's prison house. Think about being bound with the chains that keep you from ever getting out of there. Think of being behind those walls that will never crumble. Think of being locked in with those locks that will never rust. Think perhaps of wearing chains that have upon each link of them stamped the word forever, forever, forever. Perhaps even the flames themselves, as they rise up into the uttermost darkness, maybe they take on the word forever as they go upward, as a reminder that you're incarcerated in God's great prison house of the damned. You didn't have to be there. You could have come. You could have entered into the blessedness of that great day when those who are redeemed sit down in the Son's presence to honor Him at the feast given in His honor. But you would not put on the wedding garment. The kingdom of heaven is about an invitation. You and I have the privilege of giving that invitation to the world. You and I are the recipients of that invitation. Why then will you not come? Let's pray. Father, let the sobering words of your word lodge deep in our hearts.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.